many people up at the front with me as possible. We're here to celebrate Jesus and what he's done in our lives this morning. How many of you believe God? I believe God. This series, we're talking about generous interruptions. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And in another part of the Bible, it says that in Jesus, what does it say? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That means that God does not look on your situation and then bless you. That means that God does not look on your circumstance and have pity on you and then move. The Bible says that he's going to look at your faith and then respond according to your faith, okay? So if you believe God this morning, I want to hear a shout. If you want a generous interruption this morning, can I hear a shout?
Baby. this. Nothing is impossible. Come on, guys, sign it out. Come on, guys, give God glory if you believe that he can change everything in your life. Come on, guys, let me hear you. All right, and by a show of hands, how many of you guys believe that God is awesome? So the whole church better sing this song. Hallelujah. All right, so this song is pretty much saying that our God is awesome. And he can change any predicament that you find yourself in. Hallelujah. My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley and hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he will reign. Sing it out. And I needed help. Awesome. Yes, he's so. My God is awesome. My God is so awesome. Awesome. Hey, he's awesome. Awesome. Hallelujah. Awesome. Now, when we say that he is awesome, that means that if you're over here, right, and the storm is on top of you, and everything is trying to weigh you down, he can knock that stuff off and he can give you clear sight to what he wants you to be, right? Pastor might call it a generous interruption. Hallelujah. So if we believe in generous interruptions, and if we believe that he is awesome, let's sing that first verse again. And then let's go and praise. Come on, guys. Can we do that? Come on. Now I need a shout. Can we do that? Awesome. Let's sing My God. My God is awesome. He can move mountains. And keep me in the valley. And he hides me from the rain. Sing My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me
when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak. Forever you will reign. You are so amazing.
Awesome.
Hallelujah,
awesome.
Lord. Yes, you are awesome, God.
Awesome.
Sing My God.
My God is awesome.
Hallelujah, Lord. You reign forever and evermore.
Awesome.
You are the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. You're awesome.
Awesome.
Hallelujah.
Awesome.
'Cause he's my deliverer.
Protect.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me
in the valley.
Does he hide you from?
Hide me from the rain.
Sing, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me.
Strength where I've been weak.
Won't you praise his holy name? My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Yes, he is so awesome.
Awesome.
Oh,
awesome.
Give it up to God if he's awesome. Hallelujah. Church that you would desire, the light to be seen. Break down our pride and all the walls we built up inside. Our earthly crowns and all our desires we lay at your feet.
So
let it rise. Darkness tremble.
Darkness tremble in your holy
light. Worship him. Cry out to him. With everything, we will shout forth your glory. With everything, we will shout. With everything, we will shout.
We will shout for your glory.
Sing with everything.
With everything.
Oh,
with everything.
Hallelujah,
we will shout for.
We will shout for your praise. Sing with everything.
We will shout
for your glory.
The word says that when we become citizens of heaven, that we can boldly approach his throne, that we don't have to be afraid of asking anything of our Father. We don't have to be afraid because we just did something wrong, but we can actually go right to the Father and ask him, because that's the right that we have as citizens. And I feel like some people think that they don't deserve to be in the presence of God. That's what I really feel. But if we're going to be honest, none of us really deserve it, but that's just how good he is. And he's here, and he's reaching out to you, and he wants to meet with you. That's why we come here, because he wants to meet with you daily and on Sundays. So if you just feel in your spirit that you feel like you don't deserve to be in the presence of God, but you want to be in the presence of God, I just want you to take a step of faith and get up to the altar, because it doesn't really matter what our feelings is. The fact is that he deserves our worship, and then in return, he blesses us with his presence. So if you feel like you want to just get in the presence of God, if you want to go to a different level in his presence, just take a step forward, and we're going to ask him to meet us today. Is that okay? You provide the fire. Provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. I will open up inside. Come on, ask him again. You provide the fire. Provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Something in your spirit, you provide.
shall provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. I will open up inside. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. I will open up inside.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold the Son of God, in Him is everything. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold the Son of God, in Him is everything.
Sing that out.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away, our sin. Behold the Son of God, in Him is everything, in Him is everything.
With every hand lifted, sing.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold the Son of God, in Him is everything.
One more time. Sing it out. in him.
In him is everything.
Hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for being in this place. Hallelujah. 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 We give you glory, Jesus. We give you glory, Jesus. I'm really not sure how to say this, so I'm just going to say it. Is that all right? I hear clamoring in the spirit. I want to see more. I want to see more. I've seen more other places. I've seen more things happen in God. And God is saying, well, you can complain about it all you want, but you're not willing to pray it through. If you're not willing to pray it in, then be quiet. Because the things of the spirit do not just happen. They're prayed in and released. And those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So if you want to see more, you got to pray it in. Don't just talk about it, pray it in. And what you want to see in your pastor, you need to pray it into your pastor. Because what happens is the more you pray, the more the anointing is released, the more the Spirit of God moves, and it changes even from the top to the bottom. I don't know why I said that. Just know that that's what's on my spirit. Just heard clamoring in the spirit. And I just want you to know this. We are so awesomely privileged to be in the presence of God. Amen. Many of you don't know, this is the only church some of you have ever been to. But there are many churches that the presence of the Lord never appears in this dimension in the church. And we are so blessed. But I want more. How about you? So can we ask for more collectively? Father, we ask for more of your spirit. God, we want more of your presence, your tangible anointing. God, we want to see more signs and wonders. We want to see more miracles released in this place. God, we want to have more of the gifts of the spirit moving and changing us. And God, we desire that you be so powerful that every one of us will have to stand back in awe of your glory. Father, from the front to the back to every children's room, we know that your presence can be so, so heavy that, God, we can't even stand in your presence. We pray for the glory of God to be released in this place. Father, hear our hearts. We want more of you. Lord, it's not seeking a sign. We want more of you. And, God, we need more of you in our lives. So in the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you collectively and individually to move in a greater way than you've ever moved before in our lives. That, God, we may be able to truly say we've had generous interruptions daily in our life. And, God, we give you all the glory and all the praise. And everybody in agreement shouted. I said everybody in agreement shouted. Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell 5 or 6 folks, I want more of Jesus. Don't go sit down now. Many folks have just sat down. Stand back up. Go find somebody you don't know. Come on, be an encourager this morning. Not just a receiver, be an encourager.
How many times can one heart break? It was never supposed to be this way. Look in the mirror, but you find someone you never thought you'd be.
Given them a vision for you. He and she is the mouthpiece of God.
One sent with definite authority, definite mission.
Praise the Lord. We're excited. God is moving in this house. This week is going to be an amazing week. It really is. We're going to be launching out on Monday night. We have the Empowering Pastors Summit. Pastors are going to be coming and being ministered to. Leaders are coming. And I pray that you're going to be here too. We know that you'll be encouraged. Dr. David Ireland will be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And if you'd like to register, you can see Pastor Obina Igbo. He'll be in the foyer, or one of his team members will be in the foyer to register you. And I want to thank all of those that have sowed into this ministry. Many of you don't realize, but you're going to be used to change a pastor's life. If you've changed a pastor's life, you've changed the congregation's life. Amen? It is that powerful. So I want to encourage you, if you have not yet registered for the Empowering Pastors and Leaders Conference Summit, you can do so right out in the foyer right after service. What other things are going on? I want to say welcome to all the guests. I just met a young lady. She just came up to me during meet and greet. And I want to welcome all the guests. If you're a guest in the house, we're not going to embarrass you, make you stand up, do weird things. But if you're a guest in the house, we have a gift for you. If you'll raise your hand, we'd love to have somebody run to you with a gift. And we just want to say welcome. Are there any gifts? Very good, young lady right here. It was good meeting you, too. We have a gift coming right at you. Anybody else? Very good, right over there. No, Dustin, you're not a guest. How long has Dustin been here? 11 years Dustin has been here. He just wants a free mug. Glory to God. Anybody else a guest in the house this morning? Wendell, you're definitely not. You're working. Amen. Can we give our guests a hand clap this morning? Say thank you for being here. Listen, we all know how brave it is. You got to be brave to go visit a church. It's really, it's intimidating to go to a new church. And so we want to just say thank you so much for being brave and being with us this morning. We want to welcome our live stream audience. In the last year, our live stream audience has increased by over 100 people. So 100 people more have been watching us on live stream every single week. That's our family. Can you give your family online a hand clap? You can't see them, but they're definitely part of you. And today, I'm excited because God's got so much for us, and I just want to make sure that you're not settling for second best. Turn to someone and say, never settle for a second best. Are you guys almost ready for Easter? No, listen, man, we're doing something you've never seen before. This area's never had. We're doing a helicopter Easter egg drop with 12,000 Easter eggs. A helicopter. It's going to be stinking cool. And so you can start inviting your friends and relatives. That's going to be on the Saturday. We have a tremendous drama that Glenice has put together. It is going to be phenomenal. It'll be Friday night and two Sunday morning services. We're believing God to pack this place out with 1,600 people within the three services. Will you believe God with us? Amen. Yeah, you need to invite folk. Your rows should be full for Easter. People, listen, many of them are just two-time-a-yearers. So this is your option. Don't let this time of year go by without, you can even guilt them into it. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to guilt them. No, really, go ahead, you can do that. Guilt them if you got to. Get them to the house of God. They'll get the gospel. Some are saved by fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So you can scare the hell out of folk. Amen? So get them to the house of God, and God will change their life with the message of the gospel of Jesus. We want to welcome Pastor Rhonda Spencer. We have some testimonies.
Yes, I love testimonies. This is so exciting. Every week, Pastor and I get to hear so many testimonies, and we want to make sure they get shared with all of you. So this is Heath and Ashley, and they have such an incredible testimony to share with you today.
All right, a little closer. There we go. I'm a little nervous. There's a lot of people here. But our walk with Jesus started 2.5 years ago. And since that time, we had so many financial testimonies that we could share. But yes, I am. But we like to share this one about our new house that God has blessed us with. We had been praying and asking God for a new house, and we got it. It came in God's timing. And it took about a year to find a house. 5.5 months to close on the house. It came very frustrating at times. But we knew God was trying to teach us patience. We found our new home in Horseheads. Our house was a foreclosure, so we got the house very cheap. But my credit and in a foreclosure, we knew only God could lead the way. And God says he will never leave or forsake us. And if this house was meant for us, we knew we could get through any obstacle the devil could possibly throw our way. Believe me, he threw many obstacles our way. The bank constantly called us with problems such as the closing cost was miscoded by thousands of dollars. The seller not giving us concession on our closing. The fact that the home didn't come with an abstract, which requires financing. The fact the seller didn't know it wasn't a flood zone. The fact that they were going to allow us to use our own money unless we couldn't source where it came from. The biggest problem of all, which no one had ever heard of, if the home was more than 50% damaged, we could not rebuild it because it was zoned commercially. This was a big requirement for financing. Wow. The devil tried so hard to steal our faith, and at times we questioned why these kept happening to us. But we knew this was our house and God owned the bank. At one point, we even had to back out of the deal so the bank wouldn't keep our deposit. The house ended up going back on the market just for one day. And of course, another bid came in. But our God is awesome God, and for a second time, we won the bid. Finally, after 5.5 months of fighting against the devil's obstacles, we won with the help of our awesome God. Our God is so awesome that he wasn't done yet. We even got a phone call 2 weeks later to come and pick up a check that we overpaid on our closing. God will put people in your life that you will need to overcome any obstacle, just as he did for us. But the devil will always try to make sure you didn't see the signs of God ascending to you. He will always make you second guess everything you think badly of a situation that you're in. He's trying to make you second guess whether or not this is your blessing. If God has brought you to a situation, he's not just going to leave you halfway through. Amen. That's just not what his word says. And that's not his nature.
Amen.
Always remember that when you stay in faith, our God in heaven will help you get through anything you ask for.
Amen. Amen. They've been faithful in their tithe and giving, and God is faithful. They weren't shaking and they weren't moving. Look at the blessing of God. Thank you so much. And that's just one. That's just one of their financial blessings. God has been so faithful. So if you're ready, he can stand up here for an hour and tell testimonies of being a part of God's kingdom finance. So if you're ready today to participate with kingdom finances that opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is the word of God. And again, we're not going to make this a religious thing that we're doing. We are going to know as we put our money in God's hands that God is going to bless and multiply it. So let's shout this out in faith this morning. Deuteronomy 28, if you'll repeat after me, says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Declare it, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're our live stream family and you watch and this is your church service, I want you to go ahead and participate with Kingdom Finances and click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy. Is everybody happy? You know, happiness is just an emotion. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But I'm happy too. I like happiness. God is good and he loves you. Turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you. I'm very excited. I hope you don't mind me sharing this with you, but we just printed the new book that I've written. It's called The Dis Factor, the number one reasons pastors leave the ministry. And so we're excited because we're going to be able to offer this to the pastors that are coming this week. And what is the dis factor? The number one reason pastors leave the ministry is long-term discouragement. How many of you have ever been discouraged before? Discouragement is normal in life. Discouragement is when we lose heart. And many pastors have lost heart. 1,900 pastors are leaving the ministries a month right now. 1,900 pastors are leaving a month the ministry. They're walking away from their call of God in their life. And I tell you, if there's ever a time, and this is why I'm so excited about what we're doing here this week, I know that it's taxing at times, and I know people get bothered because we ask you to sow. But you know something, honestly, when we realize that when we are sowing into God's gifts, it changes so many people. And I'm just burdened for the local pastors. The average church in America, and I don't know if you realize this, but we're blessed here at His Tabernacle. We're part of the 2% club. Many people don't realize that. Only 2% of churches in America minister to over 1,000 people every single week. Only 2%. 92% of churches are 100 people and below. And out of the 92%, 80% of them are 70 and below. And so the local church is struggling, and the local church is struggling because the local pastors are struggling. And this is why we've started that Empowering Pastors Summit. We don't do it because we need another conference, because we want to spend more money. We do it because if we can save one pastor from walking away from the ministry, how many lives can we change in that region? And I'm so excited that you are part of the vision. I'm so excited that you are here with us and that you're running and that even today you've made choices to invest in these pastors' lives. And I just want to say, as your pastor, thank you. I wrote that book for a reason. I wrote that book because many of you don't know, but it was about 7 years ago, I almost left here. You don't know that, do you? I was getting ready to leave ministry 7 years ago. We had kept hitting the 500 barrier, and I was absolutely discouraged. And the reason I wrote this book is because I sat in a class from a pastor of over 50 years, and the pastor taught this. I've never seen a book like it, and it's the only reason I penned it. Because I sat there, nobody knew in that room. I always have a good smile, I'm always a good temperament, but I was so discouraged, I was actually going to resign His Tabernacle Family Church, and I was just going to go into business. And that day, that class changed me. And you need to know that there are people that are right on that pinnacle place of decision, that threshold of walking away from ministry and the call of God in their life. And that's why we do this conference, not to have another conference. We do this so we can save pastors from giving up and walking away from the anointing that's on their life. Can I hear an amen? So I just wanted to share that with you. I think it's important that you know that your pastor, you know, I like to have fun. I'm like my wife. We like to have fun. I like to laugh. I like to joke. I have a lot of good times, but everybody deals with discouragement. But when it gets to a location and a position, when you're so long-term discouraged that your heart has lost hope, that if you're willing to give up, God wants you to know, don't give up. Don't give up. He's on your side, and He will make a way if you don't give up. Amen? This is the year of... I can't hear you. I said, this is the year of... You are the generous church. What is generosity? Above and beyond what is wanted, needed, or expected. You see, God doesn't want to just meet your needs. He is a generous God, abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Last week, we started sharing about how God is generous to us. We showed scripturally that the very nature of our Father is generosity. How He's not there to keep you poor, and He's not there to keep you underfoot. He's not there to keep you in a position where emotionally you cannot aspire. But God has a plan for you, and it's a generous plan. God has a purpose for your life, and it's a generous purpose. And you see, it's important that you get a hold of this, because unless you believe that God is generous, you won't be generous. If you believe your God is poverty-stricken and stingy, then you're going to live poverty-stricken and stingy. But if you believe your God is the God of access, you believe your God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you believe your God that His word is true, that every seed that's planted will bring forth a harvest in your life. When you recognize the goodness of our God, you cannot lose heart, you cannot live in discouragement, but your eyes are drawn to high because when you look up, your God is sitting at the right hand. God is able. Can I hear an amen? You see, we know God is generous, but are we? This is a challenge that we all deal with because there's been a shift in community within the United States of America. 50, 60 years ago, if you needed a thing of a cup of sugar, you knew your neighbor, you went over, and they would give you a cup of sugar. Nowadays, you go to your neighbor and ask for a cup of sugar, you're hoping you're getting sugar. Or you might get shot. It's amazing and how culture has changed so much. But it's not just changed in the world, it's changed in the church. The culture of the church world has shifted so desperately away from community. And I really believe that it is the plan of Lucifer to keep the church disconnected. Because if the church individuals are disconnected, then it's so easy to pick them off one at a time. You see, I remember in the old days... I remember in the old days, everybody was called your uncle or aunt. How many of you were in a church like that? You weren't even sure who your uncles and aunts were. Everybody was called uncle or aunt, and everybody was family. You ate together. You joked together. You fought together. I mean, you fought, period. I mean, it was so much fun. It was family. When you went to church, it wasn't just, I'm going for a Sunday experience. It was a lifestyle. It was your family. You were going home to be with your family. But all of this has shifted in the American church. And the difficulty with this shift is it directly impacts the generosity towards each other. Because if you don't know somebody, then very rarely are you generous to them. If you don't care about them enough to at least know their name, do me a favor, turn to the person on your right and left. Well, actually, turn to the person behind you because the person to your right and left, you might know them, and tell them your name. David Austin, you didn't tell anybody your name. You did? Okay. Now turn to the person next to you and say, don't be a snob. Honestly, though, we find that in the community of the kingdom, that the community has been lost. So therefore, the Bible says that we should take care even more so the household of faith. But you see, we cannot be generous to the household of faith because we don't know anybody, because we only show up on Sunday morning, wave at a few folks, and bug our way out because the roast is in the oven. Or you want to beat the Baptist to the buffet. We've got to make a decision that, listen, if we are going to serve our generous God doesn't want to just know us. He wants us to know Him. It's a relationship. And the kingdom of God is about relationships. You see, that's the awesome part. You see, as the kingdom of God, you are a citizen. But as the household of faith, you are a member. Citizenship is legal. Membership is relationship. So there's a need to have connections on both sides. And with that, we understand the generosity of our God. We understand how generous and the interruptions that God has in our lives. And in that, when we understand God's generous interruptions, how many of you have been born again? Shout amen. That was so weak. I said, how many of you have been born again? Shout amen. How many of you, God interrupted your life when you weren't even expecting Him to show up? Amen. divine, supernatural, generous interruptions from God. But with that, the God of heaven is so powerful because he says, if you want to fulfill all the law and the prophets, you only have to do two things. You ready? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I said, love your neighbor. Love your, what was her name? Thank you. Turn to the person behind you that you do not know one more time and tell them your name.
Pastor Spencer.
Have you been noticing something when you did that? Everybody's smiling. Because everybody wants to be part of a community. And everybody wants you to generously share love, share compassion, share nature. You see, you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. You and I are born again. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be sections. We're the family of God. This is the powerful part about generosity. Because when you recognize the spirit of generosity instead of the spirit of poverty, it is not, I'm going to keep, I'm going to keep, I'm going to keep, I'm going to protect. But it's, I'm going to give abundantly above, even more than they would even expect or desire. And in that is far more than finances. It has to do with loving people. And this is the heart of God. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 is the verse for the year. And it says this, the generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So if you want water, you've got to. If you want a friend, you've got to be friendly. If you want generosity to be manifested in your life, then you have got to be generous. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Seed time and harvest you cannot run from. It's every portion of your entire life. I remember the bishop one time was in a car, and he was in with a very prominent preacher, and the prominent preacher looked at him and said, you know, Bishop Thomas, why is everything about seed to you? And he looked at him and he said, because everything's about seed. He said, well, what about the Bible? He said, Matthew 13, the Bible's the seed. And he started going through everything has to deal with seed. Seed time and harvest will always come. So generosity, the very nature of our God, is that God sows generously into our lives. But the reproduction of that is a demand that when you've had a generous interruption, that there must be a response of generous interruptions. It's not keeping it to yourself. Oh, you're very quiet this morning. Say amen or oh my. James chapter 2, 14 through 18 is verse we read last week. I want to just go over that. And then we're going to just haul through this message. Are you ready? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that they are needed for their body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I'll have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, you and I cannot be saved by works. There are a lot of people that are benevolent. There are a lot of people that go out and do nice things. They're very kind, and they give their time, and they give their money. But you cannot go to heaven by that. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot be saved by works. But yet there's something that's so powerful at the last verse of that portion in James chapter 2, starting with verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You see, this is a domino effect that must occur within the body of Christ. And this is where I believe, without question, the very activity of the demonic has been so powerful within the church. Because we have so disengaged ourselves from community, we've so disengaged ourselves from generosity, we've so disengaged ourselves from relationships, that when it comes time to give works, why would you give when you have no investment? This is why many churches struggle, and I thank God that this church doesn't struggle with workers. We can always use more people to put their hands to the plow. We always need more workers for the kingdom, and we have found that when there are more workers in the ministry, God will add to the church even quickly. The Bible says that pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. He never prayed for sinners to be saved. So here as believers, the issue is that the church has become disengaged with generosity because we're so self-consumed with our own lifestyles. In the majority of churches, less than 10% of the people are doing the work in the kingdom. And this is why pastors struggle. We were ministering to one pastor in upstate New York, and he said to us, I can't even ask the ladies to do a meal because they won't do it. And I says, you mean if somebody has a funeral? Yeah, they said, if we have a funeral in the church and I need, you know, I need food made for the meal afterwards, they won't even make the meal. He said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I said, you've got to generate a culture, a relationship of community back in the church. And they just gave a testimony not too many months ago that now people are stepping up to the plate, thank you. Stepping up to the plate and actually doing the work of the ministry. But here in this house, I'm not interested in just that we have hundreds of people literally putting their hand to the plow. I'm excited about that. But I'm more excited if everybody puts their hand to the plow. Well, I didn't figure I was going to get a large amen on that one. Many of us will say in community, well, somebody's doing it. I don't have to. Amen. I heard that in Jesus' name. Let that reverberate. We all have to. Why? Because God has given you gifts. God has generously put within you a skill set of loving people that I personally don't have. There's ways that you can touch people and community that you have outside of the kingdom of God, that God has placed you in their life to do and to live this generous interruption so that you will show forth the goodness of our God. You see, every generous interruption from God demands a generous interruption from our life. And many of us never interrupt anybody's life. We live our life. Don't bother me. Don't talk to me. You don't know my woes. You don't know my troubles. You don't know what I'm going through. Listen, I don't even like anybody. I've heard people say, I don't like people. You need to get saved. Here we are as believers. We are believing and knowing that our God is good and not bad. And the very nature of our Father is He is a generous interrupter, where He comes in and He shows forth His goodness in our lives. But yet if we never share the goodness, then we've got to get back to a principle that we see right there in those two verses. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you even love yourself? See, when you can't love your neighbor, it means you don't love yourself. When you can't be generous to somebody else, what are you avoiding in your own life? That's not even my notes. This is an issue that we've got to overcome. Can I hear an amen? Well, you know, Pastor, you just don't know how busy my life is. I've got this job and I've got that job. And listen, if you don't have time to be generous and interrupt people's lives with the goodness of God, then you're way too busy in life. Number one, you're not enjoying your life. It's running you. Never let the machine run you. You are to run the machine. Life should never run you. You should be running life. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God, not by all the busyness of life. We have become so busy, we are no longer community. And by no longer being community, we have subjected ourselves to where we are no longer generous to other people, except if we really like them. You see, the generosity of Jesus was so powerful that even everybody else who others rejected, Jesus made sure he was generous to them. Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10 says this, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector." He wasn't just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. He was a low-life scumbag who was stealing from people. He was lying about people. He was taking their money. And he was not a nice man. And he was rich at that. How did he get rich? He stole from you and you and you and you and you. But he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was going to pass by. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Oh, Lord Jesus. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to his house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them which are lost." I want you to see what happens when God does a generous interruption. When Jesus interrupted this man, when Jesus interrupted the crowd, he saw somebody. He saw a short man sitting in a sycamore tree. He had to look up and say, now the word of knowledge, supernatural being released, "Zacchaeus, come down today. I want to eat at your house." You see, Christ interrupted even the most menial task of eating. But when Jesus shows up when you're eating, when the power of God shows up when you're eating, when love shows up when you're eating, the one thing you'll know for sure, this generous interruption will change your life. And this man's life was changed from that day forward. He started giving half of his wealth to the poor, and whatever he had stolen, he didn't just give back, but he gave back times four. One interruption of generosity should make you generous. Let me say it again. A generous interruption demands a generous interruption. And so when there is no generous interruption coming from our lives, we've got to get back to the cross. We've got to get back on our knees. We've got to get back to Jesus and say, "I need your nature to filter through me one more time, God. I want to have the heart of heaven. Lord, I know that at times I struggle, but there's one thing I know. If I sow, I shall reap. God, if I give, it shall be given. Lord, if it's just giving a hug, if it's giving a love, Lord, if it's sending a card, God, if it's making a call, this one thing I know, that if I show your generous love to somebody, it will interrupt them. Their life, because they were not expecting God to show up." You see, here, you and I got to know this, that you and I are the representation of God on this planet. Without us interrupting life, they'll never know God. They'll never know the goodness of our God. And let's be honest, most church people complain more than they give praise. Can I hear an amen, Romai? We've been saved by the grace and the blood of Christ that none of us deserve. Can I hear an amen? We've got God on our side. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. If God is for you, who can be against you? By his stripes, you were healed. Oh my goodness, we can go through the list of realities of where we stand in Christ Jesus, and we don't have one leg to stand on to make one complaint upon this planet, because if God is on your side, you cannot fail. But what's happened, the self-consumption of our own little life and our reality that we live in, God is saying it's time to break loose and have a generous interruption. I placed you in a place of people that nobody else will have a chance to reach, and I want to interrupt their life by my generosity, by my love, by my passion, by my example, but I cannot interrupt it if you're so consumed with your own thoughts and processes. You see, we have not been saved to go to heaven. We've been saved to make a difference. We've not been saved. We've not been saved to go to heaven. I know some of you are so stupid in religion, that's really what you think the end conclusion is. Well, I just want to go to heaven, hallelujah. I just want God to crack the eastern sky. I want the trumpet to sound. I know the dead are getting there first, but I'm close behind. Please, Jesus, just save us. God has never placed us here to be survivalists. He's placed us here to be more than overcomers. He's placed us here to be that example, to be those people that others will look at and say, I want the God that you serve. I want to know him. I want to walk with him. I need the healing power of Jesus. I've just been diagnosed. Will you lay hands on me? Because I know if you pray for me, I'll recover. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in my life, but all of a sudden you get a word of knowledge and God starts working through you and changing lives around you. You see, God has placed you specifically where you're at. Stop fighting where you're at and start running to purpose. Why? Because God wants to use you for generous interruptions in someone's life that only you can reach. You have been placed there divinely, supernaturally, so that your voice will be heard, and that voice should be the voice of heaven. The generous God speaking through his generous son and his generous daughter to bring forth an interruption in someone's life so they'll know that God is alive and real. See, this is why you're alive. You've got to respond. I want to start a movement. I think movements are fun. I was watching. Did anybody see that YouTube the other day? I don't know what country it was in, but it was a landslide. Did anybody see that landslide one? Like, the whole countryside is moving. I mean, it was really freaky. I've seen landslides. You know, you see the pictures and you see a side of a hill. But literally, it was the entire countryside was moving. It was a movement. It's time to make the countryside move. It's time to create a movement where people will actually see that God is good and not some religious institution. It's time for people to experience the love and the passion of a Messiah and a Savior that loves them and cares for them and will wash every sin away. But there's only one plan of heaven, and that is that you and I will be the supernatural, generous interruption in their life. But if the church no longer is recognizing community, no longer recognizing the call on their life, then it's just survival. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do my thing. Don't bother me too much. I'm busy. I've got over this to do, but God is saying, no, wake up. I haven't placed you on this planet to earn money. I haven't placed you on this planet to produce children. I haven't placed you on this planet to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband and a wife. Your very first call is that my purpose for your life is to be fulfilled, and that is to seek and to save that you're with them which are lost. You've got a call on your life and a purpose and a destiny that you've got to run after. You know, this week, I've heard some great testimonies this week. But there's one, and we don't even know who it is. So you might be in this room, you might not. But somebody in this room, they were at a restaurant, and there was a family who had just lost their dog. They had to put their dog down. Anybody have to put your dog down before? Man, the only time my kids have ever seen me cry was when I put my dog down. Even the dog I hated. Tank was the meanest little foul beast I'd ever seen. But when I put Tank down, I cried and I went.
I mean, I Mr. Redner's cute. He says, Pastor, you should cry every once in a while. I don't cry. Just not a crier. But boy, when I put that dog down, I mean, I was so hysterically crying, my children were staring at me. It's the only time I think my boys have ever seen me, like, cry. Just a horrible situation. So this family had put their dog down and went out to eat. You know, they were just consoling each other, I guess. And somebody from his Tabernacle Family Church walked over to their table, didn't know anything, led by the Spirit, of course, because you didn't know anything, gave that family a $50 bill or $50 and a little card. That was you? Stinking cool. Do you realize that that family, that touched them so deeply? Do you realize that you don't even have to know them? And a generous interruption will steer them to Christ. You are so powerful. This is why the devil wants us so self-absorbed. This is why he wants us so detached from community. Because when we all put our hands to the plow and we start really doing the will of God, do you know how many people we can mess up in a week? Think about it. If everyone in this room did a generous interruption this week, you went out of your way, led by the Spirit of God, to affect somebody. You don't even have to know who they are, but you look over. I remember I was at Starbucks one day, and this woman in front of me, and I just felt led of the Lord. I bought her coffee, and she looked at me, and she just said, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It was $3. Well, not really. It's $4.59 probably. Starbucks, you know. But you just don't know. You don't know what God wants to use you for. But if we're always so overwhelmed with our own little life and our own little problems, then we never allow God to use us in a dimension that will change another life. People need a generous interruption from our God. But the only way that's going to happen is if you and I generously interrupt their life with God. You have been sent by God to do a purpose. That is to be a generous interruption. Generous means what? Above and beyond what is asked, needed, or required. Don't answer out loud, but when was the last time you did something that was just over the top for somebody? And listen, I'm not talking about, well, I bought my kid an Xbox. Well, you know, Pastor, I put $5 in my child's gas tank. No, I'm not talking. When was the last time you did something for somebody that they had to, listen, what is an interruption? Ready? An interruption is, hey, I guess I can. That's why I interrupted you. He said, can't you see I'm writing? And I said, yeah, that's why I interrupted you. What is an interruption? He was doing something. He wasn't paying attention to me. Look at you're writing, I love my wife, I love my wife, I love my wife, I love my wife. When was the last time God used you to interrupt somebody's life and to stop their forward motion so they could experience the generous kindness of Jesus? And if it's been a long time, it's been way too long. I'm not telling you got to stand up and go, you're going to hell. No, that's not kindness. Well, you know, I want to bless you with $50, but I want you to know that if you're going to hell, you better get saved. That $50 was just canceled. There was no generosity left. When was the last time you were generous? Can you do me a favor? Can you just, if you don't know, if you do know, I want you, I most of you don't bring pens and paper to church. You should, by the way. Bring your Bibles. Everybody say, bring your Bible to church. You should have a pen. That's right, Matthew. Not your wife's Bible, the church. Your secretary's writing notes for you. Okay, there we go. I really want you to do something for me because as your pastor, one of the challenges of ministry is I'm not here to preach you a sermon. If I want to preach a sermon, I'm not going to be a pastor in the north. No, really. It's not only warmer in the south, they pay better in the south, and the church will be bigger in the south. That's the truth. If I'm just being a preacher, then I'm in the wrong location. I am not interested in you hearing another sermon. I'm interested in you applying it. When was the last time you had a generous interruption in somebody else's life? And if you don't know immediately, then you've lost the purpose of your breath. You've lost the reason for your living. You've lost the destiny that he has placed before you. And this is where many churches struggle. They've become so internally driven, they've lost the truth of generous interruptions in the world. People need Jesus. And without Jesus, they're not going to heaven. Without Jesus, they're not going to heaven. You'll never be good enough. You'll never do good enough things. You'll never be benevolent enough. There's only one name under heaven which all you shall be saved. It's the name of Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Here's your homework. Next week, we're going to have for you cards that say generous interruption. It's the shape of a finger, right, Philip? Shape of a finger. It says generous interruptions. So this is not going to be a week-long process. I want you to do this for the year 2017. I want you to have one generous interruption in somebody's life. Stop their forward motion and draw their attention to Jesus. And all you have to say is, Jesus loves you. Do you realize that some people are in a backslidden condition? They walked away from God decades ago. I met a man not too long ago, right here in this community. He grew up in a church, a Pentecostal church at that. And he's not been in church in over 30 years. Crazy, man. His children now are non-church people. They never grew up in church. They never heard the message of Christ because he walked away so many years ago. And every time I go in there, I just drop a little seed. Just drop a little seed. And one day, you know what? I know he's going to be sitting in this sanctuary. And I'm believing that his whole family will be saved. Amen? But by me, I actually buy from him, not because he's cheaper, but because by giving generous interruption and spending time, I know that I can plant seeds. When was the last time you interrupted somebody's life with God's generosity? If you don't know, it's too long. Amen? It's too long. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have a call on our life. That, Lord, every single person in this room is so extremely important to the plan of heaven. I thank you, God, that not one has no purpose, but every single one, Lord, you said, for you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you to go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. I thank you that everyone in this room, you've placed us in different circles of influence, that God, there are people around us that other people will never meet, but Lord, you have placed us there to bring forth generous interruptions in their life. Holy Spirit, you dwell inside of us, and we ask that this week we'll not be able to go 7 days without interrupting someone's life with the generosity of Jesus. God, whether it be a hug, whether it be an encouraging word, whether it be a phone call, whether it's buying someone coffee, whether it's helping somebody in the parking lot, whether it's praying for somebody that's sick, whether it's giving somebody money, God, whatever it is, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will be people that will interrupt the lives of others. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Use us, Jesus. Let a landslide, a movement happen in this region that you will be glorified in, and that church religion will be destroyed, but the relationship with Jesus will be raised. God, we give you the glory for our lives. Thank you for the purpose in us. Thank you, we're not accidents. Thank you, we're not survivalists. We are more than overcomers. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. Some of you are backslidden. What does that mean? You once loved God more, but now you don't. That's backslidden. Let's not make it real deep. Here's how deep it is. You were in love more with the Lord before than you are right now. You are in a backslidden condition. It's a dangerous spot. The Bible says if you're hot, you're not hot or cold, but lukewarm, I will projectile vomit you out of my mouth. Today, if you are not passionate with Christ, today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to know Him, to be saved by Him, washed in the blood of Christ, so that you'll have destiny and purpose and an eternity with our King. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus, you're in a backslidden condition, I'd like you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, thank you very much in the back row. I see that hand. Thank you, sir, over here. I see that hand. You can put it right back down. 5, come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm a purpose of destiny. Tell somebody else this week, I, by the power of God, am going to make a generous interruption in someone's life. And yes, you are. Could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you need prayer this morning for anything in your life, sickness, disease, if you're discouraged, no matter what you have problems with, God will save your life. If you raise your hand for salvation, if you'll meet me right here, right down center, I want to pray with you this morning. God's going to change your life. You raise your hand, make your way right to the front for the glory of God. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you're at the conference this week starting tomorrow night at 7 p.m.